This episode is brought to you in part by Wholehearted Love, a new book by Caleb and Stephanie Rouse. Overcome the barriers that hold you back in your relationships with God and with others, and delight in feeling safe, seen, and loved with Wholehearted Love. For more information, go to Tyndale.com.
You're listening to episode 183.
Marriage is an Art?
Of the In-Between podcast, where you'll discover the tools to build a marriage and family that you love. My name is Daniel M.
And I'm Christina M.
Yes, and we're not talking about a new marriage activity, right? Learning how to paint together.
Okay, but have you actually seen this like viral thing that's been going on where the spouses sit across from each other and they paint each other's faces?
Oh. That's not the hardest part of a person to... draw.
It's so funny because like 9 times out of 10 the woman actually like is drawing and painting certain aspects of the man that look like him.
Yeah
And then the man shows the wife the picture of what he like painted, and they're all like, what? Like one of them actually looked like a cave woman.
Oh no. It's like, this is how you see me? Yeah, date really, night fail.
Yeah, it's really, really funny. And also a little bit too bad.
Oh, I love that. Okay, so we're not talking about different ways to do art on a date night. Instead, we are interviewing Brian and Jen Goins on The Art of Marriage. Now, before we get into their bio, you're going to notice that I am present at the beginning of the interview,
and then whoosh, I disappear.
So, yes, we are in the middle of changing our recording software and
having
had some
a
technical
bit of
difficulties,
hiccups.
And yeah, it was brutal.
We were like texting each other back and forth. I'm like, do I just take this? Like, are you? Can you hear us?
I know. It's like, no, I'm back,
but then I'm gone.
Yeah. Wait, what question are you on? I'll pick it up.
I disconnected like 4 or 5 times. It was a gong show and I was sweating buckets. But thankfully, Brian and Jen were so gracious and just continued talking, even though it looked like they were talking to blank screens.
Yeah, they
so
are
thank
pros.
You, y'all.
Yes, yes. So Christina and I had the privilege of appearing on the brand new Art of Marriage with Family Life and Right Now Media. They did a partnership to film this together, and it was neat to be a part of it. So what we are going to be talking about on today's episode is marriage as an art and what that looks like. So here's a little bit more about Brian and Jen before we get into the podcast. Brian is the Senior Director of Strategic Projects. He helps lead the Weekend to Remember team, and he's the host of the podcast Married with Benefits. He's also a producer of the documentary The Brain, the Heart, the World, a series exploring the dangers of pornography. Jen serves as the women's director at their local church, loves to lead Bible study groups, and connecting with women through mentoring. They have 3 kids, and as a family, they enjoy making annual treks to Montana to hike and ski, and they've loved attending Pine Cove Family Camp together. So without further ado, here's the episode.
Hi, Brian and Jen. Welcome to the In Between podcast. We are so glad to have you here.
Oh, it's great to be here. Thanks for letting us come on.
Yeah, of course. So... we're going to do something a little bit differently. Our podcast family has already heard a little bit about both of y'all in the intro, but we'd actually like to take some time to allow you to introduce each other. So who wants to go first?
Oh my goodness.
You want me to go or you want to go?
No, you go first.
Okay. This is my beautiful wife, Jennifer Goins. And we have been married for 27 years now, and I'm still madly in love with her. She's great. And she is not only a mom to our 3 kids, but she is an incredible chef and foodie. She has expanded my palate in so many ways. I would just be stuck with burger, basically anything on the kids' meal. That's what I would have been if I had not gotten married to my wife, Jen. And we have 3 wonderful kids, and she is the women's director of the church. And she also speaks for Family Life's Weekend to Remember team, and it's a joy to be able to do that with her.
Good. Thank you, Brian.
How about that?
Yeah, that's good. Okay, my turn. This is Brian Goins. He is my amazing husband, and he has so many gifts. He's so talented. He is kind. He's gentle. He's smart as a whip. He's creative. He's written a book, and he's an amazing speaker and author and a great father and husband. And he loves reading, being outside, exercising, and he likes, what else do you like?
I like you. Yeah, I like going on dates with you.
Yes.
We like to find new restaurants too.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do like to, yeah. And we like to travel and have an adventure
that's
together.
Right.
So that's Brian Goins.
She did a better job than I did. She got to go second, so she was able to go.
See.
Yeah, that was good.
You had a little more time to think about it. That's awesome. Well, we invited y'all to our podcast today to talk about the art of marriage.
Mm-hmm. It came out in 2011, Christina, and it has impacted so many people around the world. I think it's been translated in over 13 languages. And really, it was designed to be a 6-part curriculum for couples to go through together to find out a little bit more about how marriage works and how you can continue to grow and develop as a couple. And it was a video curriculum. It was pioneering at the time. Back then, a lot of video curriculums were like one person talking head, not a lot of creativity. And this really, someone once said, like this was kind of an amalgamation of, if you can imagine, Saturday Night Live skits with like a marriage expert like John Gottman. If they got together and had a baby, that's what Art of Marriage would be. And so there's a lot of short segments, there's teaching, there's creativity, and a lot of people loved it and started using it and started using it at churches and small groups and community events. But what we found, like anything, any video curriculum is going to age. And so, you know, they felt like, man, some of the skits got a little old or they're a little cheesy after a few years. And some of the teaching felt more like it was like kind of talking heads that were more authoritative. And so we really wanted to expand it and keep the same creativity, update some of the things, and then bring in some new teachers and speakers like yourselves. You guys are stars of the show. So Danielle and Christina, we are so thankful for you and your input and your wisdom. It was great to be able to come interview you for this because we have a lot of couples now that are talking on the Art of Marriage. Whereas the original one, we had a lot of kind of single male speakers that were great. They're phenomenal teachers, experts, but to be able to have couples share their stories and be transparent and lead with their transparency, we felt like that was super important. And you guys really pioneered and helped us with that too.
I'm so glad that you guys made the decision to re-release and refresh it to reach a new generation. And but when people see the name, The Art of Marriage, I think sometimes there's a sense of, okay, yeah, I get that. I get that marriage is an art, but it's more of a conceptual, what does that actually look like? So can you unpack that a little bit? Like, why is marriage an art?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think that when you think about marriage, and if you do look in the Bible and you start thinking about, okay, if I want to do marriage, how am I going to do it well? The Bible does speak to some things on marriage, but it speaks to a lot of principles. It speaks to not a lot of details because the Bible was written at a certain time. I think it's cross-cultural, but because we live in a cultural context, there are blueprints, but they're not exact blueprints. It can definitely be more of an art. Mm-hmm. It's not like math where you do 1 + 1, you're going to get 2, because we're all made so differently and we're all, come with different backgrounds. And so you do kind of have to work out some of those details and figure out what is the art of our marriage. I think that really is the question is, you know, we call it the art of marriage, but it's, what's the art of your marriage? How are you going to work together as a couple? And so we look into that and talk about that.
Yeah. Even the way you just said that, I've never heard you say it quite like that. It really is. Art is a very, you know, you think about somebody who's a creator, you know, you guys both create, you're both authors, you're writers, you're speakers. When you create something, it really is coming out of you. Marriage is that thing where you're going, I'm bringing two of those perspectives and trying to blend them into one. And so it's not like architecture where you do have this blueprint and then you create this structure and the structure just stays. It's just there like a building. Art is this weaving of colors in different contexts, and it's really living art because, like one person said on The Art of Marriage, you know, I'm not just married to one person. I'm actually married to five people over time because Jen's very different than the day we got married 27 years ago. She has changed. Children has changed us. Jobs have changed us. We've gone through different experiences and we've dealt with mental health issues. And so all of that forms who you are, and you're constantly trying to go, how does this living art work together? And how can it actually not just work together for you, but art is meant to be displayed. It's actually meant to be displayed for others to appreciate and to experience. And so we like to say that God was the original artist, and he's put that in us. And every work of art has an intention. And so we really try to explore, you know, if we could try to understand what the heart of the artist was in creating marriage and try to understand that a little bit more, maybe that could inform how we could have a better marriage.
Yeah, I love that image of the art, because even when you think about artists, their early works are different than their later works, and how the artist will That's grow great. And mature and hone their craft, even expand their craft. And to think about marriage like a bridge, okay, I'm going to raise the money, I'm going to architect it, I'm going to build a bridge, and now the bridge is built, we're good for the next 100 years. We don't need to ever touch it again, right? You see the ring. She said, yes, yeah. I'm married. It's okay. We don't need to work on it anymore. Would be, I mean, conflict after conflict, because we're changing. I mean, even for Christina and I, we're not the same people that we are, you know, 20 years ago when we met, 18 years ago when we got married. We're not the same people then that we are now. So to see it as an artist and in a sense kind of, have you guys ever done those splatter paint group activities where you have one canvas and everyone is painting together and splattering? Is such a beautiful image of what art looks like and how that's marriage. So I love that. Now I'm curious, Brian and Jen, with this series, the new series, there are different themes that you've walked through. And there are different biblical words that you've used for each of the sessions. And I'd love for you to just unpack, the themes and the why behind those themes and why you wanted to walk through those ones specifically.
Yeah, you know, when we first started going down this road, we were thinking like the original was so good. People loved it. And we were really struggling with, well, how do we just recreate an original? It's like, you don't just redo Star Wars. I mean, we've seen multiple attempts at that and they're all terrible. And so we had this great intimidation about how do you remake a classic? And so we really were trying to reimagine, you know, what's another curriculum on marriage? What could be different about it? And when we really dug into this idea of art and that if God really had an intention behind his art, what would it be? And we started thinking about the idea of, well, we really feel like marriage is really to display this love of God, to be the visible representation of how an invisible God loves his creation. And so if you believe in God and you have a framework, you understand that God is this invisible God, but yet he wants to have a relationship with us as visible creatures. And he has said that he would like for things to represent him on earth. You know, communion is a representation of God on earth. And we see that the Jewish people and the tabernacle, when they had that, was a physical representation of God on earth. And in the same way, marriage, he said, is to represent something about him. And so it says in the New Testament that God is love. And when people love each other like God loves us, we actually see and get a glimpse of this beautiful God. And we don't do it perfectly because we're broken people, right? But we really try to unpack what are the different ways that God loves us. And so we took six words, three original Hebrew words, and which was what the Old Testament was written in, and three Greek words, which is what the New Testament was written in, that all describe a different facet of God's love. And so we talk about what is a steadfast love or the persistent love of God looks like. What is the clinging or cleaving love of God looks like? How do we stick together in the highs and lows of life? Which is, I think, is why we got married. We wanted to journey through life together with another person. What's the forgiving love of God looks like? How do I how do I actually have a conflict and not let it separate us forever, but have it actually move us towards one another and build oneness when we learn how to forgive each other in a healthy way. And then we definitely can't avoid intimacy. So we talk about this word yada, which is Hebrew for to know and to love one another. And you guys had some of my favorite stuff on the intimacy section and sexual intimacy. You guys were open. And in fact, Jen, I don't think I told you this. They have a practice that they do as a couple that is one of my favorite practices that I feel like after you hear this, you're going to want to do this, what they do. So can you tell us what your practice is that you've made a habit in your life? You know what I'm talking about?
Is it about sex?
It's about sex.
Oh, God.
Yes, it's about sex. Yeah. So, and Jen, there's no pressure. I know he said you may like this, but this may not work for you. So yeah. you just give him a nudge and say, not a chance.
Seriously. Yeah.
But for us, we actually talk about creating rituals around intimacy, just so that, you know, the asking of intimacy can sometimes feel just a little bit too risky or a little bit too much. And so we've actually put different practices in place that when we do something or say something, it's an automatic invitation for intimacy. Yeah. So for us, it's one of those when we wash our bed sheets.
Oh, yeah.
I'm the one who does laundry. So when I'm like, okay, you know, they're feeling, you know, sometimes they get all crumpled up and you're like, I just want nice, clean bed sheets. So I'll put them in the wash and then I'll text Daniel, be like, hey, by the way, I'm washing our bed sheets.
Oh, yeah.
And he knows that means that's an invitation. And also meaning like, you actually have to help me make the bed first. Before we get in it. So there's kind of like a double a double meaning to it. But yeah. No, and I did really appreciate how you put in the yada and put in that section into the art of marriage, because I do feel like there are some places and spaces that can get a little bit tricky, mm-hmm. or people are like, I'm not quite sure, because what does it mean?
Yeah.
What does God think about intimacy when we don't even talk about sex in church? So yeah, I'm really thankful that the Art of Marriage did talk about some of these topics that can feel a little bit faux pas in different Christian spheres.
Well, and I think that's,
to follow up with,
I think that's another good reason to have some men and women both, and then also to have couples and have different couples, because there are just, again, so many different things that we all face and so many different ways that mm-hmm. we approach intimacy. And so it's just good to kind of get a little bit more of a wide variety of like, oh, that's a great idea, or how I felt that pain as well, or, you know, things
and,
like that.
And I just say this before you go on to your next question. You know, there's one thing I love about Art of Marriage is that it helps couples have the conversations they most need to have, but just aren't having. Whatever reason, because they're busy, because they haven't had great default patterns of communication, so they don't quite know exactly how to bring up sensitive topics like sex. Most of us, we grew up watching sex, but we didn't grow up learning how to talk about it. And so when you get into a marriage and it creates hurt and it creates pain, and I don't know how to move into this supposed to be beautiful space with each other, what Art of Marriage does is it gives you the freedom and the ability and the transparency and the modeling, and then this language of how do I talk about this really well with my spouse so that I can have more conversations that are healthy and not just expectations that don't get met. So, and you guys really did a great job, not just with that section, but with all the different sections when we talked about conflict, when we talked about, you know, what's your mission of your marriage. And so I appreciate the In Between podcast and what you guys did to really help model that for us.
The wait is over. Find out what happens in the thrilling conclusion of the 12th Dead Sea Squirrels book, Babylon Breakout. Hi, I'm Mike Naraki, co-creator of VeggieTales, voice of Larry the Cucumber, and author of The Dead Sea Squirrels. Get ready for more daring rescues and hilarious jokes as Merle and Pearl and their animal friends embark on a ridiculous mission to bust the kidnapped Gomez family out of Babylon, a Bible-themed amusement park with talking animals. Young readers will love the nutty misadventures of 10-year-old Michael and his friends, and will learn all about biblical life lessons such as forgiveness and friendship. Read all 12 Dead Sea Squirrels books, available wherever books are sold.
Mm,
Thank you. Like Daniel said already, it was a joy to be a part of it. We're very honored. I want to just go a little bit deeper into the nitty gritty, just giving our podcast family an idea of how this actually works, because it is made into sort of a group format, right? You can watch it on your own with your spouse, but you can also do it in like a Bible study or a group study. And you're talking about having these opening up conversations to have about these different topics like sex, like intimacy. For those of us who are wondering, I don't want to talk about sex with other people. Like, what other things am I going to be, quote unquote, maybe feeling forced to talk about with other people that I maybe don't even really know, or I don't want them to know about these aspects of my life and my intimate things with my spouse. So can you talk a little bit about how that kind of works, the dynamic of being in a group, but also having these more intimate conversations with your spouse?
Yeah, that's great. We don't sit around in a circle going, go, hey, what's the hardest thing about your sexual intimacy? You know, we don't do that. Yeah. We really try not to embarrass people or put people on the spot. What I love about the way we've designed it is we try to make it super flexible. So there's a lot of people that are in a church or a community that want to do a marriage event just to help people grow in their marriage. And so they'll play these 6 25-minute video sessions, you know, or they'll pick three of them to play or whatever it might be. And they'll show them. And then there's a workbook that goes along with it that's both for his and for hers. And so it's really designed simply where you watch, you can take notes. And then there's some group questions if you want to use them. You don't have to use them. But if you're in a small group, or if you're even in a church or community event where you stop and have a timeout and, hey, let's talk about some of these things. The questions that we have there about the video, they're not going to be embarrassing, but they will help you start catalyzing. Oh, it's okay to talk about this with couples, because when other couples start opening up, it's amazing how you realize you're not alone. We all are going through the same stuff, and it's really helpful. And then we have another section that's just for the couple. And so we call them date night questions, where if they want to go out on a date after their small group or their event, they have questions about that that goes a little bit deeper, that's just designed for those two. And then with the His and Hers book, we also have a short devotional that's based on the theme of that word. And then we have a challenge that we give to each husband and wife to act out that word towards their spouse in kind of a unique way. And so it's hidden, you know, it's for the husband, for the wife, but we challenge them to do something and live out that word that week in a very practical way.
Oh, okay. Can you give us an example of that? I like challenges.
Yeah. So like one of them is we talk about just how it's amazing how it's the little things that can go a long way in a marriage. And a lot of times there's a lot of marriages that feel a lot of little hope, or they may feel like, man, if my spouse doesn't change, then I don't know that this marriage will work. And what we've learned from people like John Gottman, who you studied under, and others, is that when one spouse starts acting positively towards another spouse, it can really help build the momentum in their marriage. And so it could be as simple as, you know, getting post-it notes and putting them in their car or on a window at the bathroom and just saying compliments about their spouse. Just noticing, like this week, we want to challenge you to notice and point out where your spouse is doing right. It's easy to point out where they're doing wrong, but we want to catch them doing right. So that's one of the challenges, like catch your spouse this week doing right. And then actually don't be stingy with your praise. Let them hear it either through a post-it note or a text or something where you're actually pointing out where they're doing right.
Yeah. And then when you come back together as a group, it could be a fun time to talk about what happened and how it went. And hopefully if you are in a group that has built some trust and built some community, that even if it didn't go great, you can feel saying like, man, we need to do better. We could have done better. But it's an encouragement, hopefully, that you're in a group doing these things together and being like, hey, we want to join in. We want to have the momentum of helping each other, catching each other, doing that one thing right, or taking those little challenges that really encourage each other.
And I don't want to give the other ones away because they're secret. So it's like, okay. I want to let other people discover what those are, but they're pretty cool. And if couples do them, I think their relationship will really grow.
Yeah, no, I love those ideas, especially the one you're talking about, look for the positive. As you were saying, you know, John Gottman, he has the ratio of 20 to 1,
right?
So you actually, in a relationship, to continue to grow it and it to be positive, it's 20 positive things to one negative thing. So yeah, that's great to even be able to open our eyes to see what our spouse is doing that we can praise them for. Who doesn't like to be praised, absolutely, right? Yeah. So yeah, that's phenomenal. I'm wondering if you can just share a story for us, maybe in as you've been doing these workshops or you've heard feedback from people about being hesitant about starting this series, maybe feeling even a little bit hopeless in their marriage, or like, I feel like I'm always the one who's, you know, pointing out positive things for my spouse, all of that, and they never do anything for me. We can get into those never or games or thought patterns, or like, I did something nice, now they should have done something nice. Is there a story that you can think of that a couple came in a little bit like that, and through learning these six different words and what they mean in our marriage, that has really helped them grow through that and grow closer together?
Can we hit that?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. You know, we just launched it, and so we're just starting to get some of the stories, and it's been neat to see. You know, we have people that are doing them in prisons with couples who are married,
really?
But one of the spouses is in prison. And so prison, you know, the prison will let them have these, you know, growth enrichment opportunities. And to be able to see couples come together, and even in contexts like that, where they're isolated from each other, and yet what it does is it gives them a positive way to look at each other and to find that hope. We've had couples that have been in groups like this, whether it was the original Art of Marriage or this new one, where they had divorce papers in their glove box, where they were, this is the last ditch effort. And they went to an event or they went to a small group, and they realized that they weren't alone. And they realized that they actually can move towards one another, even when they feel like they're enemies with each other. And so if they start doing a few small things, I don't think that one series is going to, you know, be a miracle, right? Like, it's not just about the content. The content doesn't change your life. What changes your marriage is that when you humble yourself and realize, I don't really have all the answers, but I'm willing to learn, and I'm willing to move towards my spouse, even if I don't feel like it. You know, we like to say, it's easier to act your way into a new kind of feeling than to feel your way into a new kind of acting. And I think what this does, things like this, whether it's the Art of Marriage, or I know you teach with Weekends Remember up in Canada, and you see those kind of experiences. Those experiences give us a little bit of the tools to where if we humble ourselves towards our spouse and towards God, I believe in that humility that God can repair even the darkest of situations.
Well, I have a story. We have a friend who, this is a specific story about a friend who did the Art of Marriage, and she and her husband were the leaders and they're just, I mean, he's a doctor, she's a stay-at-home mom, and they started it in their church, and they were really affected by the first session. The first session has a story about, actually he's a friend of ours that we've always wanted to video or get his story down someplace, because he had a wife who had a terminally ill sickness. And she was ill for quite a while, and he sacrificed so much to care for her, and had been advised that a lot of people, when you get these kind of diseases, like a lot of times the family breaks up, or, you know, whatever it is, or the husband is like, I don't know if God would really want me to, you know, spend my life like this, or whatever it may be. A lot of divorce, a lot of abandonment and things like that. And he just cared for her for years. Well, their video is their story is one of our first videos, and my friend's husband came home. I might get a little teary eyed here, but he came home and he sat the kids down and he told his kids, "I want you guys to know, I will never leave your mother, no matter whatever happens. I will never leave her.
Oh, wow.
If she gets sick, if she's unfaithful to me, I will never leave your mother." And I just thought, what an amazing thing for a man to say. So my friend Jessica is sitting here hearing that. So she knows that, and her kids are hearing that. So they're more secure, but then they're thinking, now that's how I want to be to the next generation. And so you have this cycle of this, I'm not, you know, and sometimes you need to leave, but there's a lot of things that need to stay. Mm. And so that just was an amazing example of that the art of marriage affecting a family and possibly even generations of a family.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. I love that. What we're investing in today. Sometimes we don't see it today.
Yeah, right.
Right. But it's one of those things where it's the long-term investment. It's not just the quick sprint. So I really appreciate you sharing both your stories. Yeah. Jen, I know which story you're talking about in the first one, and I bawled. Yeah. I literally bawled.
Yeah, yeah. But that guy is a real guy, and God has used him. And it was so neat because Brian, again, I told you at the beginning, my husband's very creative, and he just has a really great long-term look. And when he met this guy, when we were in our late 20s, mm-hmm. he was like, this story needs to be told. And he didn't really know how. And we feel like we had the opportunity now to be able to tell that story. And it's just a great story to be told of like God's faithfulness, God using a simple man, he is extra special, but just a normal man, and now his story is going to be seen by so many people. And obviously that's not a guarantee, but like, that's just amazing. It's kind of cool to know that he's in a way being rewarded, that his story is going to be used for God's glory.
Yeah, for sure.
Hey, Christina, can I say one other thing? One other just quick story.
Of course, please.
Yeah. So I was getting my haircut this week in Phoenix, and this guy was doing free haircuts out. I don't know. It was on Easter Sunday, and he's like, business was slow. So he's like, free haircuts, which is kind of dangerous. Like, okay, you get what you pay for. But I went in.
Looks good.
What do you think? You can see it. It looks good.
It came out all right.
Yeah.
It looks good.
So I was sitting down with him, and I got to know him as he's cutting my hair, and I find out he's been with this girl for 4 years, or they're just dating, and it comes out that they've baby's on the way, and I just felt like this little prick, like, okay, how do I talk to this guy? Is it anything that he needs? And I just asked him the question, what type of family do you want to have? And he was kind of taken back, because that's not something you talk about in a barbershop, with the guy that you just met. And he said, what do you mean by that? I said, well, do you want to have the family that you grew up in? And he immediately had this negative reaction, because his dad and mom, he said they're married, but they hate each other. And they just are there because of tax benefits or whatever it might be, but they don't even live together anymore.
Yeah.
And I said, a lot of us have a lot of negative pictures of what marriage and family looks like. But we don't have a positive picture of what to grow towards. We don't have a lot of models. And one thing I love about the Bible is the Bible is filled with a lot of messed up families. It's not filled with like perfect families. It's filled with messed up families that have just tried to apply God's principles to their marriage and let God do the work. And what I like about what Art of Marriage does is it gives some models, like the one Jen just talked about. And we have stories about families with autistic kids, and being married to somebody who's visually impaired. And there's different stories that give us models to give couples actually a positive view of what their marriage could be. Doesn't guarantee it, but it could give them, if a lot of couples have negative visions for their family, we want to try to, by the end, them to be able to work out, what could our family be like? What could our family feel like? And how do we then take the steps to move towards that?
Yeah. No, I love that you brought that in, Brian, because I think, I don't know what the stats are recently, but I'm guessing they're close to, 50% still of children who come from divorced family, whether they're in the Christian sphere or not. So you think one in two of maybe families, not like necessarily their children, are having a picture of what does it look like for a mom and dad to be faithful with one another, to actually really keep their vows in sickness and in health till death do us part. So having, like you were saying, this picture of what could be, this positive picture of what could be versus the lens that they're looking through now can be really inspirational. And I appreciate how you're saying that's not just it, right? It's not just content.
Right.
But it gives you a picture of what it could be. And then also being able to be in a community where you realize you're not the only ones who struggle with this, or you're not the only one who feels like this, or yeah, we tried to do this, it didn't work out well. Someone else tried, you know, this challenge, it didn't work out well. So we're not quote unquote failures, we're just humans. But by the grace of God and relying on Him, and like you were saying, approaching Him in humility, that He can really change our hearts and grow us closer together and heal some really painful things from our past.
Yeah.
So I appreciate so much. We appreciate so much, Brian and Jen, for you coming on the In Between podcast, telling us more about the art of marriage. I know firsthand how hard you have worked at this, Brian, with other team members. They even came up to Canada, y'all, to brought all of their equipment on a plane and came up to film us in Edmonton. So you know right there, podcast family, where their hearts are at and how they have poured their blood, sweat, and tears into this curriculum, but not just this curriculum, into investing into marriages and legacies of marriages over time. So we really appreciate you two and your team for creating and recreating this content. So for our last question, we'd love to, if you could tell our podcast family, like, how can they get a hold of this? Even if you don't live in North America, is there a way that they can use this curriculum?
Right.
Yeah, please let us know.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's two ways you can get it. You can go to familylife.com and go to, or type in artofmarriage.com, and hopefully you'll have those links, but that's real simple. You can search that and then order that, and should be able to get to you. I think we're delivering internationally. I'm pretty sure we are, but that's one way, is to get it right from familylife.com. Or if you have a church or a community that uses Right Now Media, and so a lot of businesses have Right Now Media, or if you just want to yourself go and log on to Right Now Media, we have the videos of Art of Marriage there on Right Now Media that you can watch. We would still encourage you to get the workbooks, because I think it's far better when you're doing it with these workbooks and with these challenges. Those aren't digital. Those are, there's something about having something tactile, I think, that's really helpful for couples, where they can take notes and ask questions, and it just keeps you accountable to work through the process and to do the work. I know that you're training to be a psychologist, and there's something about doing the work that is important for couples to do, not just watch the content, but how do I apply it to my life? And so familylife.com or artofmarriage.com or Right Now Media are the easiest ways to get a hold of Art of Marriage.
Okay, awesome. And podcast family, we'll have all those links in our show notes, so don't worry about it. We got your back.
Yeah.
Thank you, Brian and Jen.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
We loved
it. So nice seeing you guys.
Wasn't that awesome?
Yeah.
Oh, I really, truly appreciate Brian and Jen, especially as they shared the stories of hope and transformation that they're starting to hear about the art of marriage, and also about even some of the interviews they did. What happens when we decide to stick it out, when we decide to drop our weapons against each other and pick up our shields and just really to be with one another through the thick and thin of marriage?
Yeah. 100%. Well, we thank you so much for listening into today's podcast. You can go to inbetween.org/episode183 for all the show notes and the links, and for discussion questions, and also links to watch and learn more about the art of marriage. Now, perhaps there's someone that came to mind as you were listening to this episode. You can either hit the share button on your favorite podcasting app, or you can text them inbetween.org/episode183. And we would be honored and delighted if you were to just spread the news about our podcast. Thank you so much for listening in, and we'll catch you next time.
This episode was brought to you in part by the Enneagram and Marriage Podcast, an outreach dedicated to bringing joy, strength, intimacy, and purpose to couples seeking growth. Be sure to visit enneagramandmarriage.com to find your chemistry together again, or for the very first time.